On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we tip off the show with some basketball talk as the NBA season is finally underway. LeBron and the Cavs take the first round of the Kyrie-LeBron battle as the Celtics caught a few unfortunate breaks along the way. On the college hardcourt, Patino finally has his quick exit from Louisville, much to Dickie V's chagrin. But North Carolina fans can rejoice as the NCAA has decided that the school's widespread academic fraud scandal is not their problem. The guys weigh in on Mike Mitchell's cheap shot on Alex Smith, and we give you a few NFL picks from the upcoming weekend that you can take to the bank. Finally, in honor of the Bengals-Steelers matchup this weekend, we end the show with the fantasy drafts of our favorite rivalries. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
All right, welcome to the Natty Boys podcast. Today is Friday, October 20th, and the Natty Boys are back. Took a short break. We had DB off on paternity leave, so welcome back, DB.
Thank you.
Which I did not know we got paternity leave, otherwise I would have timed up my kid a little better.
It's unpaid.
Oh, okay. I feel bad.
Isn't everything that we do unpaid, technically?
Yeah. What? So far.
The kid's sleeping good, so I can't complain about much, you know. She sleeps at night, and yeah. It's a girl, which is meh.
That's weird.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, it was almost perfect. Jesus.
God. One of us has to end up having a boy at some point, or we'll never be able to pass along the Natty Boy's name.
Right.
That's true.
That's problematic.
The Natty Gals.
So, just a bit of a scheduling update going forward. The Natty Boys will be coming to you once a week with planning. We're planning releases every Friday, something to kick off your weekend with. And this will allow us to have a little more time to focus on the blog, bring you content there, and make sure that we're giving you the best content we can on our podcast as well.
Hopefully start up some video stuff and... You know, the podcast will be previews for the sports weekend and try not to be as much recappy as it has been.
Yeah.
And I know we've gotten a lot of feedback from our fans online about the new scheduling updates. And I know, the general consensus is that, it's disappointing that you're not getting the Natty Boys twice a week. But, we'll fill that time with other ways. So for all the fans out there, just trust the process. We know what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring you the best we possibly can.
Well, the Natty Boys are back, and so is the NBA. That was one thing I was very happy to see. I know that a lot of people don't give a shit around Cincinnati about the NBA, but I, for one, am a huge NBA fan. I love basketball in general. I'm a Lakers fan. They don't play until Thursday night, so as we recorded this Friday, they had a huge win over the Clippers.
Big victory for you Thursday night.
Yep.
Despite LeVar Ball running out on the court mid-game to argue with the ref.
Yep. Blake Griffin also broke his leg, just like Gordon Hayward. Man.
But it was hilarious when he did it.
Yeah.
Anything Blake does is funny.
Who would have? I didn't know that they were going to bring a Kia back out onto the court for him.
Just tossed him in the trunk and drove him out.
But with the NBA back, the Cleveland Cavaliers tipped off Tuesday night against Celtics with Kyrie back in the building in Cleveland, which was kind of interesting to see him back after the trade. I know we've talked a lot about him this summer on the podcast, and he had a good debut. But
he almost tied the game up.
Stats wise, he did well. Yeah, he had the three-pointer at the end that could have tied it up, but didn't. So obviously, Cleveland and LeBron, they got the last laugh in that trade. So,
it's just shot at the end fell a little short, and I think that's because he didn't account for the Earth's rotation, since he thinks the Earth is flat.
That had to be it.
I don't think that was true.
So, not getting too far away from the game, but
I saw something funny on Twitter that the Browns account did. I don't know who the guys were. I assume they were Browns players. They were saying good luck to the Cavs in the season opener. And one of the guys was wearing a Kyrie Irving jersey. And the Browns social media guy photoshopped a 3 next to the 2, so it was 23 instead of 2. just to make it look like it was LeBron instead of Kyrie.
Was it done to be funny, or was it done like they legitimately were trying to cover up that it was a Kyrie jersey?
It wasn't Photoshop. I mean, it was paint. I assume it was done to be funny. Okay. He did it like in paint, and he just drew a 3
That's
on
funny,
it.
So. That is pretty funny. You know, there's another jersey mishap, which we talked about a little bit. Yeah. LeBron's jersey got grabbed for 1 second and split right down the middle.
Nike jerseys are trash.
Yeah, Nike needs to do something to make these a little bit more durable.
Yep. Yeah, and you can tell just by looking at them that they're really thin. It's going to keep happening. The game's pretty physical nowadays, and they're just going to keep happening. It's going to be funny. It wasn't as comical as the one, I forget who it was the other night, or in the preseason, where literally the number just got ripped clean off.
Yeah, that was Lakers. I think it was Tyler Ennis.
Yeah. This one is just split down the middle. It almost looked like when somebody puts on a suit coat that's too small, and it just splits down that seam down the middle.
Yeah. Fat guy in a little coat.
So about 6 minutes into the game, the Eastern Conference was wrapped up.
Yeah,
with the injury to Gordon Hayward, that kind of seals it for the Cavs to make the finals, as long as LeBron doesn't have a heart attack, God forbid. Mac,
he says he's out of shape.
Yeah,
he said he's not in good shape yet. So
that injury, I don't know if you guys pizza. Oh my God, it was awful to watch. But it's one of those things that I had to watch over and over to see like exactly what happened, and then I even screenshotted it. Mm-hmm. To see like how bad his ankle was turned. And I mean, at first I thought it might have been a dislocated ankle. And then when you actually see it buckle underneath him, you know it's broken.
Yeah.
And I thought that first when I was looking at it, I just saw the screen grab of it. And I thought it was like one of those really bad rolled ankles where the shoe came partially off as well.
Yeah.
Like I knew he was hurt for real. Yeah. But yeah. I thought it was one of those deals where the shoe pulled halfway off because of the way that he planted.
Yeah,
because
it almost looks like it's just his heel, but no, that's that was like his bone.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was I thought that was his heel sticking out of the top of the shoe.
I don't know if it's the sound of him hitting the floor either, or it's the actual bone snapping, but that made like the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Because right when he hits, you can hear just a... And
knowing the Celtics, I know Paul Pierce is retired now, but you know, they have a history of kind of faking some injuries and then coming back looking like a hero. This wasn't one of those cases.
I was gonna say, I don't know that you can. Whew.
Yeah,
special effects in the NBA are great now.
JJ Abrams is producing the NBA now.
Yeah, did you see the explosion when he broke his ankle? It was epic.
Speaking of explosions prematurely, Rick Pitino is finally fired. I didn't realize this was up for debate. I guess they had to go through the legal proceedings and get, I don't know, like, I guess.
Was it the board? The board had to certify it.
Can you imagine if you were that person that was like, no, I don't think so. I think we.
Right.
If Dickie V was on the board, you know,
he'd still be Vitale.
Dickie V's his biggest supporter, but he Pitino got canned. He got shit canned, and Adidas dropped him too, which I think is a no brainer because obviously he's not coaching anywhere anytime soon. But he's going to sue the school, I guess, or he's trying to sue Adidas
as well.
Yeah, so he's not going down without a fight, which. It's bad news for him because more and more is going to come out, I think. I don't think he's the type of guy that wants... it's just going to keep on coming. But
that's going to come quick.
It's going to come quick, yeah. It'll be a quick process.
Just like his firing, yeah.
Yeah.
There was also that in his contract that he had to give, like, he had to be given a 10-day notice before he was fired, too. So I don't actually know the day count for like if this was day 10 and they could finally do it, but I know that they did have to go through the board to get approval on everything.
Mm-hmm. Is that 10 business days or 10 calendar days?
Ooh, I don't know.
And does it count holidays?
Columbus Day was in there somewhere, I think. So bank holidays.
pretty problematic. He's probably got grounds to sue, I would think.
Yeah. He might only be on day 8.
Yeah.
But by the time you're listening to this, it's day 11, so...
Ooh.
So Rick Pitino's upheld.
So there's... I said it before that I don't think that he would be able to get a coaching job anywhere in the NCAA again. But at the same time, you know, after I thought about it a little bit, I could definitely see like a smaller school bringing him in as like a big name, just to see what he can do for their program and try and, you know, either revive their program or bring them back to the top.
Yeah,
I could see him coaching again, even though all of this, I mean, this is some bad shit that he's into, and he might, you know, he might be in court for a while, but after that's all over, I could definitely see him going to a small program somewhere.
Yeah, I could see
him. Or maybe the Big Three.
Coach the Big Three.
Like a UNLV where there won't be any temptation, DB?
Right.
He doesn't have any access to escorts out in Vegas.
It's legal out there.
I was going to say, it's legal.
Yeah. He'll end up coaching for that weird Oakland that's in Michigan or something like that. And he'll win the conference tournament. He'll be in the
favorite OU hockey opponents.
Yeah.
as you're listening to this too, the AD has actually been fired as well by the board.
Yeah.
He's officially been let go. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess part of that came from him refusing to fire Pitino,
What happened is when they said, you have to fire Rick, he said, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, okay, well, you're fired, and then we'll do it ourselves. So I guess he was probably under the same. They just did it all at once with him and Rick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get it all done. But yeah, he's gone. Dickie V's battling he's fighting his battles for him on Twitter right now. I don't understand why. I don't know if they have a history or I don't know if they're friends. I mean, I guess they're probably friendly, but
yeah,
I don't know. Dickie V's the only person in the world right now that thinks Pitino got wrongfully fired.
I know.
And maybe he's just setting himself up for no awkwardness when Pitino gets hired by ESPN. Because now he's like, hey, baby, I actually liked you, baby.
Oh, it's a diaper dandy. If you wore a diaper at that restaurant, it would have been a dandy.
That's crazy.
Those are pretty good impressions.
Dickie V is one of the only people that I've actually heard defend him, too. Everyone else is kind of like, we knew this was coming just because people thought that he should have been fired the first time. Yeah. Like, these are more allegations that came out, but yeah.
Do you think Dickie V's created fake Twitter accounts so he can go on there and defend him?
If you've seen Dickie V try to operate his own Twitter account, I'm going to say no.
There are some times where he tweets up, but I'm like, what is he
doing? I thought he was hacked the one day.
Yeah. Well, he always tweets he'll tweet random shit, but he'll tweet like four thoughts in the same tweet, and he'll put just slashes or it's just very weird. I don't think he realizes that he can do multiple tweets for different things. And then I know it's something that Big Cat over at Barstool lives and dies for is the periscopes. And I don't think he realizes that a camera's on when he's periscoping. I think he thinks he's just talking into the phone. And because it's always just the drinks on the table or the little packages of Sweet and Low. If you just imagine what the camera would be shooting if you held your phone like you were talking to it on speakerphone. Very loudly in a Target.
Maybe he just hasn't figured out the face forward camera versus the rear facing camera.
This Apple baby is crazy. Dickie V and Rick Pitino maybe have a nice little Italian dinner and, I don't know, find a nice waitress.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, whatever happens, happens. You never know. So, speaking of other people, Dickie V just loves and Dickie obsesses favorite. Over. Tobacco Road, he is no stranger to the UNC-Duke rivalry. And UNC, I mean, I guess this is another Pitino thing, got off easy with their NCAA sanctions. They essentially admitted to the fact that they've been running a fake academic, structure for their players. But they said, yeah, well, this is what we did, but try to prove that it's not legal by the NCAA bylaws. And that's what the NCAA was like. That's pretty much what it is. Like, that's
yeah, they came out and said that they didn't break any rules. And I guess part of the reasoning behind it was is the classes weren't available exclusively to athletes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were, the majority of them were athletes, most of which were either football or basketball players. And like going in before the NCAA made their ruling, people were saying like, this is one of the biggest academic fraud scandals ever. Like they were like talking like UNC could potentially be getting the, you know, the supposed death penalty. If not, they could get heavy sanctions. And it comes out that they're getting nothing. And essentially what they were doing is they had these fake classes or these paper classes, what they called them, I guess, where nobody had to show up. I think you, you know, like in some, you had to turn in one paper in order to pass it. And guys were using this to stay eligible. And the NCAA basically said that, you know, this is up to our member schools to kind of police and enforce the rules on. So it's not our problem. Which it's just so absurd. Like, I don't understand how, because they even said, like, it's not like they said no, they didn't do anything wrong. It's, they said, well, what they did wrong isn't in our jurisdiction, so, you know, no harm, no foul.
It's crazy too, because it's like an episode of Last Chance U, pretty much. Like, if you guys have checked that out at all, like, that's essentially what Last Chance U. They're all the classes that they take, like in the first episode of that, they're like, just get C's or D's so that you can go to Division I next year.
Yeah.
And
two of the guys from that show are in trouble for killing someone.
They went back. I don't know if they were back in their hometown or what, but they were, it's like eight people involved in killing that one guy. So I don't know what happened, but yeah, it was very Last Chance U-y.
The whole thing that really kind of pissed me off about this was just the juxtaposition of this story and the story of Braxton Beverly, he was an Ohio State commit, and then when Ohio State fired Thad Matta, he decided, you know, okay, I'm going to transfer to NC State. And before he transferred, I guess he had enrolled in the summer course at OSU, and he actually went to the class, took the class, never played for the basketball team. But the NCAA ruled that because he took that one summer class, he wasn't able to play this year. He had to sit out an entire year. Mm-hmm. And he's not losing a year of eligibility, but they're not going to let him play this year. And
that sucks.
Like, this kid does everything right. I mean, he's trying to get a jump start on his education. It's not like he's like skipping classes. He actually took a class in the summer.
Yep.
And he decides, okay, well, the guy I committed to is gone, so I'm going to, you know, transfer schools because I wanted to, you know, play for Thad Matta, and he's gone now. So, which generally they have the right to do. I mean, OSU released him from his letter of commitment, so they weren't kind of holding and forcing that. But the NCAA stepped in and said, nope, you took a class at Ohio State. Now you got to sit out a year because you're a transfer, which,
that's so fucking dumb.
Yep. Yeah. Comparing that to the whole UNC thing, it's like, okay, so not taking a fake class is better in their eyes than taking a real class somewhere else and then trying to transfer.
Yep. Yeah.
It's crazy.
So the UNC thing is like 7 years, the 7-year investigation that went on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the NCAA basically came out with nothing against UNC, saying that just because you have shitty academics doesn't mean that they can penalize you for that. You know, that's kind of what their ruling was. Just because your academics suck.
And this is a dangerous precedent to set because now, I mean, what's going to stop other schools from doing this? And, you know, you could make the argument that those guys aren't there to get a degree. They're there to play their sport and try and go on to the next level. So, you know, maybe at the end of the day, nobody really cares. But it's, I don't know. Like I said, it's just, I think it's a bad precedent to set.
Yeah, and I know. So OU is building a huge academic center for their athletes right off the end of the one end of Peden Stadium. It's going to kind of close in the one end, and they're going to have, I guess, more restrooms and locker rooms and all that stuff under it. But it's essentially a better academic center than what they have now, which is just in the tower, which is where the press box and all that stuff is and the offices. And one of the big things going on there right now is the school and athletic department are fighting. Not really fighting. They're just, you know, debating over who should be in charge of this. The athletic department wants to be in charge of it because they want to run it their way. But the academic side, the actual university, is saying, hey, like, to avoid, not saying that we have anything going on or we expect anything to go on, but to avoid opening ourselves up for any sort of academic misconduct, someone involved with academics at the university should be in charge of this, because otherwise you end up in the same boat as UNC and these right. other schools that are pulling the same crap. And I don't think a Mac school needs to get that involved, because it's just not, it's a different ball game. It's not even close to the same, you know, level of trying to get guys in and get the best players. But if there's no need to put yourself at risk, I think you're going to start to see that a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so UNC escaped that unscathed. A couple guys that didn't get out of this past weekend unscathed in the NFL, I guess most notably Aaron Rodgers, broken collarbone. Looks like he's done for the year.
Yep.
Poor guy.
That's tough. Sad. Yeah.
A lot of fantasy owners not very happy.
Oh, yeah. And I know it's his throwing shoulder this time. Last time, I think it was his non-throwing shoulder when he did come back. This time, they're saying there's no way. And did they ever do surgery or say that he needed surgery? I know they were looking into it at one point.
Yeah, I hadn't heard.
But
I think they were just trying to set it at first. I don't think that they did the surgery yet.
I feel like
set it and forget it.
I feel like... You know, we say this every year, but it seems like there's a lot of injuries in the NFL this year.
And Jameis Winston got hurt.
A lot of serious millennials injuries
too. Yeah, my favorite part of, and you know, I don't want to, I didn't take joy in Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, obviously, but my favorite part of that whole thing was the second he got hurt, all the rumors starting. Oh, are the Packers going to call Tony Romo up? Are they going to call up Brett Favre? Are they going to call up Colin Kaepernick? So,
yep.
Looks like they're not doing any of that, at least not yet. But
in the Packers are, I mean, I guess they do it better than other organizations that do it. But I guess they're real big on, I guess they draft for a purpose. They don't draft Brett Hundley they drafted Brett Hundley to be a quarterback when something like this happens to Aaron Rodgers. Whereas some other people just, you know, they assume, hey, if our main quarterback goes down, we're either just going to tank it and get a better draft pick, or we're going to go try to get someone off the street. Packers aren't that kind of organization, it seemed to be. They're not too reactionary like that. So
I think AJ McCarron's available.
I know.
So you mean your backup quarterback's not just supposed to be an argument piece that gets thrown in every time your starting quarterback looks kind of bad?
It's crazy to think about, isn't it?
It's weird. Yeah, it's strange.
No, but
so that's bad news for the three of us that picked the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
not sure that's gonna happen anymore.
Yes, it's just it's crazy to think, like, you think about an organization like the Browns that can't decide on two healthy like quarterbacks, and then you got an organization like
three
three healthy quarterbacks.
They just demoted what's his name to third string after starting.
Hogan.
You
got a freaking organization like the Packers that the coach immediately comes out and defends the backup. And like Mac was saying, it just speaks to the difference in the organizations. Like when Rodgers went down a couple years back, that who was it that came in for him?
Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn came in and threw a franchise like best, like five touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he got his money.
Got picked up by Seattle, got paid.
Yeah. And then didn't even bite
out first position.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. So it's you can, it just shows the parity between the two organizations.
That sounds very similar to the Bears signing Mike Glennon and then drafting Trubisky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what people hoped happened with McCarron. He didn't look great in his backup duty at all for Dalton when Dalton broke his thumb. But people are like, oh, he won some games and had him competing for a playoff win until the defense melted down. Maybe we'll get something out of AJ when someone loses a quarterback to injury, people overpay for it, and I think people are starting to wise up to that a little bit. But, you still see every once in a while the whole Osweiler thing. People will pay big money for a small sample size and then realize, oh shit, this guy actually kind of sucks.
He's tall.
And that's a product too. And like you said, like people are learning from the mistakes of people that did the Brock Osweiler type deals and everything. But the new CBA with the rookie wage scale is a big part of that too, because
it makes it a lot easier to take that quarterback.
Yeah, because they can say, hey, well, we can take a shot at a guy. If we get a top 10 pick, you don't have to worry about paying him Sam Bradford. Because I think Sam Bradford was the last one of that deal.
He was.
Where he got crazy money for being one of the top quarterbacks or the top quarterback picked. And you don't have to worry about that anymore, which lets teams be a little more aggressive in the draft and get quarterbacks early rounds that aren't necessarily, you know, pegged as the franchise, and allows them to not hit the panic button when their $150 million man gets hurt.
That's kind of what you mentioned, Sam Bradford. That's what Aaron Rodgers' injury reminded me of at first. I thought it, like, when he landed on his shoulder, I thought it was his AC joint.
Yeah.
Because Bradford has did that a couple times early on in his career, where he got tackled just like Rodgers did, landed on his shoulder, and ended up messing up his AC joint. But collarbone's a little bit different than that.
When he got hit, when he got landed on and got up, I did the same thing. I was like, that's not his collarbone, because usually when it's the collarbone, the arm's slouching, and you can just tell by the way that they're acting. But he was kind of moving. He was moving his arm around a little bit. You could tell he was maybe just thinking he was. I don't know. I thought maybe he strained. You know how when you land on your arm weird, you can like strain like your tricep or maybe like
laying
hyper
on your arm weird. Shit, when we sleep on our arm weird, it does that.
True. True. But, you know, it looked like one of those things that maybe it was more of a muscle situation, or he pulled his pec the way he tried to, like, brace himself. Yeah. And then you saw him not using his right arm at all when anyone was giving him a high five or anything. You're like, he's done.
Yeah.
So if Vontaze Burfict makes that hit on Rodgers, how long is he suspended for?
4 games. Another life.
That was such a late hit.
Yeah. Well, there was another late hit on a quarterback that people always mistake for Aaron Rodgers, just in the looks department, and they were comparative one and two at the draft the year that they came out of college. Alex Smith escaped a dangerous play where he could have been a career altering injury, all on the dirty play of Mike Mitchell. I'm sure people have seen it by now, but the play was gone. Smith had gotten rid of the ball. It was kind of trotting along. And next thing you know, Mike Mitchell is diving at the back of his knees.
Such a bullshit play.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see the one.
Fucking stupid.
The linebacker or defensive lineman, whoever it was running alongside him. It looked like he put his arm up on his back almost as support, or like he didn't shove him into Alex Smith.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it was almost like hey, I'm right next to you type of deal. Like, tap or, like, grab. Yeah. Like, it wasn't or, like, a spacing thing. Like, hey, let's keep our space just on the side. But, and I think Mike Mitchell felt that little bit of pressure and was like, oh, this is an opportunity to go at Alex Smith.
Yeah.
I thought Alex Smith was going to fight him.
Oh, that would have been so awesome. Pissed.
Dude, I loved Alex Smith's reaction to that. So, like, I'm not going to take shit for that. Like, I'm not going to take your shit just because I'm a quarterback.
Yep.
You know, and Alex Smith is normally a pretty reserved guy from what I've seen. And, that's one way to piss somebody off is to go after their knees.
Oh, yeah.
And he was pretty pissed after the game, too. I mean, they asked him about it, and he said he felt like it was extremely late. And he said that it was about as flagrant as it gets. So, he didn't kind of hold back or anything. He was pissed, as he should be.
I saw a funny tweet that said that when you realize Alex Smith's about that life, and it showed him like flexing back on Mitchell.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
And I saw that one of Mac's tweets was, not my Bobcat.
Yeah. Not my Bobcat.
Don't claim you, sir.
Do not want you ever associated with my.
He does not represent OU.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's done this shit against the Bengals multiple times. Like,
yeah, Steeler,
he does that against everybody. I mean,
DB, as DB referenced, was saying, not my Bobcat. He was at OU at the same time as us. And I remember borderline shit all the time in college. Like, he had that reputation. He was, he always made the late hit, or he would celebrate 50 yards away from the play that was made. And that was my favorite.
That would drive me nuts.
He's on the other side of the field chasing a dude that ran like a seam route. And a guy makes a 3rd and 10 stop, like, on an out. And he's jumping around, like, pumping his chest and like, trying to hype the crowd. Like, he's the one that just made the 3rd down saving.
He's play. Like Drake Kirkpatrick.
Yeah. So,
except Kirkpatrick will do that when he makes a tackle on a 10-yard run on, like, 3rd and 6 for the first down. It's like, what the fuck are you celebrating?
I know.
Yeah. But, yeah, that drove me nuts about him at OU.
Somehow, Mike Mitchell avoided any sort of suspension. I didn't even see the league address this and say this is why he's not suspended, which I feel like would be the case if it was anybody else, especially the Bengals' Vontaze Burfict. But someone else escaped a suspension again somehow. I'm trying to figure out this whole process. But Ezekiel Elliott is going to be eligible to play for 2 more weeks.
This shit's so stupid.
I know. I'm getting tired of this process.
Oh, I'm so sick of this story.
I honestly hope that, like, if there's, like, 5 or 6 games left in the season and, like, the Cowboys are out of it, like, they don't let the suspension go. Like, they make him wait until next year. Like, so, like, hey, like, you wanted to fight this? Now guess what? You have a lost season, but you're going to have to use the suspension next year. They should make it only for postseason games.
There you go.
You're suspended for your next 6 postseason games.
For the Cowboys, that could be like a decade and a half.
I know.
And for the Bengals, that could be 17 years, which is also close to a decade and a half now that I think about it. It's a fortnight.
I'm just so sick of this damn story. Like, I just want it to be over with, and it's not going to end anytime soon because the restraining order is going to be lifted and then he's going to be suspended again. And then there's probably going to be an injunction and he'll be able to play. It's never ending. And I just want to die now.
No. Yeah.
We need something to distract us from it. Like a league wide thing that, you know, everybody's participating in that grabs headlines, something to distract us from Zeke.
Maybe they'll take a kneel in solidarity for Zeke.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's
stupid.
Yeah. Just suspend him, get it over with. Yeah. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not quite at Deflategate level yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah. Just finally deliver the knockout punch. Well, there's really no back and forth like the Zeke suspension on our standings. Hefe is still the leader in the clubhouse.
Inexplicably.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, the only back and forth so far is DB pulled away from me a little bit 2 weeks ago. But everything else has pretty much stayed the way it was from the beginning. Last week we all went 1-2, correct?
Yep.
So, yikes.
Just think how much money you'd be up right now.
I still haven't won any money.
Yeah.
Because I'm stupid.
No, we said last time you're smart because the second you put money on it, your picks are going downhill. Oh,
yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
Well, we've done pick'em leagues in the past, and anytime something's on the line, that's when I'm gonna suck. So, it doesn't have to be monetary.
Well, this week we have a couple interesting games. The game that everybody had tabbed on their calendar after the Super Bowl last year, after the epic meltdown from Atlanta, coming off another epic meltdown. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago that they had that epic meltdown? It's this past week, I believe, right?
This
maybe.
Yeah, they had the Dolphins.
Who did they play?
Yeah, it was Jay Cutler.
Yeah, this past weekend.
So, off of another meltdown, they are hosting the New England Patriots, and the Patriots are giving 3.5 points. I think New England goes in there and blows them out, so I'm taking New England. I think they'll win by 2 scores. Atlanta's not really that good. New England, their defense isn't great, but it's hard to go against. Anytime you think the Patriots are going to struggle, which you saw them struggle putting away the Jets, they're due for a 42-13 type of game.
Yeah. I'm going the opposite of you, Mac. I'm picking the Falcons plus the 3.5 points. I don't know why. I hate to root for the Patriots, and I think that Matty Ice will find Julio Jones a couple times and they'll finally get on the same page.
I'm going to agree with DB. I just think that with how bad New England's defense is, I just don't see. I think Atlanta's offense got so, I mean, I don't think they got any worse from last year. I just see them going in there and, you know, putting it on New England just because the defense is so bad. I hate rooting against the Patriots in Foxborough because it's a dangerous game, but I'm gonna go with Atlanta.
I'm siding with Mac on this one. I think the Patriots win this one handily by at least 2 scores. So I don't know. I don't think Atlanta's that great right now.
Matty Ice is gonna get his revenge. You're wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. I just feel like the Patriots bounced back after a tough performance against the Jets. So,
all right. Our second game was pretty intriguing to begin with, just because of the high-powered offenses. It's even more intriguing now with Aaron Rodgers being out. Surprisingly, at home, Green Bay is a 5.5-point underdog. I mean, obviously, Brett Hundley's makes this a completely different team. Still at home, Packers, I would think that they would probably, I could see 2 or 3 points. So that's why I'm going with Green Bay. I don't know if they win necessarily, but I think they hang tight. I think they lose. They might. If they lose, it'll be in a heartbreaking fashion where, you know, that's the kind of game where the guy Rodgers would have pulled that out and got him in field goal range. Brett Hundley just couldn't get it done. So I think that's where it is. Whether the Packers win it outright or not, I don't know, but I don't think they'll lose by more than 5.5.
What do you got, Hefe?
I think solely based off of how the Saints looked. The Saints looked really good last week. Now their defense didn't look so good towards the end of the game, but I think solely based on how the Saints' offense looked, I think this is a blowout by the Saints. If Rodgers was playing, I would probably go the other way, but yep, I'm going Saints.
I'm going Packers as well on this one. I think, again, I don't know if they win it outright, but I think it's closer than 5.5, so... you know, Hundley's obviously the big unknown, but I think the rest of the team is enough to carry them to at least make it a respectable game, a close game. So I'll take Packers plus the points.
I'm going Packers too. Hundley didn't look terrible, you know, in his debut with Rodgers going out. He didn't look great, but I think with, you know, another week of reps under his belt, hopefully he'll look a little bit better and they can keep it within that 5.5 points.
Yeah, I think so too.
Our last game of the week is the big rivalry, Bengals at Steelers. Bengals are plus 5.5. Hefe, you're leading us off.
I'm going Bengals. I can't pick the Steelers. Fuck the Steelers.
Bengals plus 5.5 at at Heinz Field.
Mm. Fuck Pittsburgh.
This is such a tough game to actually pick. Like, I know you're just saying that because fuck the Steelers.
Yeah.
But if you actually look at it, fucking. I don't know. The Bengals coming off a bye. I hate to do it, but I'm taking the Bengals too. Just to plus 5.5 points. Hopefully they showed signs the last two games that maybe they're back from the dead. So I hope that they keep trending that direction.
I'll take the L. I don't care. Even if I'm wrong.
I am going with the Bengals as well. I don't think they win, but I think that they keep it within 5.5. I think it'll be in similar fashion to the Packers game. It's going to be a heartbreaking loss. It's going to come down to either a missed field goal or we score with too much time left on the clock and the Steelers, they luck into some bullshit play, get the ball spiked just in time, and they kick a game-winning field goal. I think that's how it happens. So I won't say the Bengals are going to win because I don't think they will, but I think it's going to be, you know, a field goal type of game.
I have to go with the Steelers in this one. I don't see the Bengals keeping it within 5.5. This game to me screams of an ugly 19-13 Steelers win, which if it's not the score, it was similar to the score of that Chiefs Steelers game. I see that playing out a lot the same way. It's just going to be your typical AFC North football game where you have these two high-powered offenses that come in and just don't do shit, and it just ends up being a slugfest and, you know, a defensive struggle, and it's going to be ugly. It's not going to be it'll be entertaining, but it won't be a pretty game, and I think Steelers win by about 6.
I hope not, but normally when you pick against the Bengals, it goes the other way, so hopefully that trend keeps.
Well, part of it, too, is on the road. I'm assuming they're not going to be able to wear their black jerseys, so black jerseys equals wins. White jerseys equals loss.
You motherfucker.
This is going to be a good week of picks. This is going to, you know, separate the field a little bit more.
Separate the men from the boys.
It's just these games could go either way. Like, I mean, honestly, they could go either way.
That's kind of why the lines get set where they are, because they could usually always go either way.
Yeah.
I just feel like in Vegas surprisingly know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah. They shouldn't be allowed to know what they're doing, honestly.
I know.
Because we don't.
We don't. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
All right.
So since I've been off on paternity leave for a while, I've had a lot of Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime time to, you know, while I have one TV with sports on silently. Normally it's baseball, since that's what's going on right now. It'll be NBA here soon. I have been putting in some extra time with the wife while the kid just eats, sleeps, and poops. And one of the shows that I got into, which I'm recommending as a what to watch during some downtime in your day, it's a new show on Netflix called Ozark with Jason Bateman. It is a crime drama where Jason Bateman actually plays a serious role.
A crime?
Yes. He's normally in comedy roles, which I love him as, and this is kind of the first time I've seen him in a non-comedic role where he's playing like a serious character, but it's very, I wouldn't say, I don't want to compare it to Breaking Bad, because Breaking Bad is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. But it has that sort of feel to it where there's drug kingpins and, you know, he's an accountant slash money launderer, and that's what he's doing for the mob. And he kind of gets himself in a bad situation. Yeah. But if you got some time, I would definitely recommend sitting down and watching Ozark. The first season is now on Netflix.
I've heard good things about that. I'll have to give it a shot. So.
Yep, same here. And I've heard that same Breaking Bad comparison as well. So it's kind of in that same vein. Not necessarily being compared to it as far as the same quality or same high level, but just sort of the same general kind of storyline where you kind of have that straight edge guy that gets into, you know, all kinds of hijinks and illegal activities.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what it is. And I don't want to say that it's as good as Breaking Bad, but it definitely has potential. They ended the first season with it, you know, still potentially going on to a second season. So I bet that Netflix will bring it back next year.
And speaking to Netflix and with it being a Netflix original, I saw the other day that Netflix is dedicating, I forget how many billions of dollars, towards their new content. I think they're going to release 80 some movies next year, like original movies and TV shows, I guess, which
79 Adam Sandler flicks.
That's the thing I heard about on the radio, the one they were talking about on the radio, and they're like, and they're not all Adam Sandler flicks.
Yeah.
but which is good, because this is going to be a recurring segment. Probably every week, maybe space it out if we get a TV show that we say you need to watch that's more than just a quick week watch of binging, but we'll have plenty of material to work with.
Yeah, because no matter how many sports are going on at once, there's always some downtime in between where you're not sure how to fill your time. Do you watch reruns of SportsCenter? Do you just stare at the empty TV screen, which is what I usually opt for? So we're going to help you out a little bit, tell you what you can do to fill that time. So watch the Ozarks, and DB promises that you'll love it. He promises that it's as good as Breaking Bad, and if it's not, then his Twitter account is at MillIronDB.
Yes, it's good.
At him. At the fuck out of him. All right, well, in honor of this weekend's Bengals-Steelers rivalry, we decided to do our fantasy draft this week on our favorite rivalries. There's a lot of good ones out there. You know, just about any week you have some sort of rivalry matchup, whether it's in college football, pro football, you know, anywhere. So we're going to go through a list Lakers, of some Clippers of our last personal night. Favorites. Yeah, that one got ugly too.
It did.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and kick off the fantasy draft, and I'm going to go with a relatively newer rivalry. It's kind of young, but it's got all the potential to be one of the all-time greats if both sides can, you know, really hold up their end of the bargain. I mean, they're both starting off strong, but, you know, you see that sometimes where you get these promising rivalries and they kind of just peter out a little bit. But my number one all-time favorite rivalry is Colin Kaepernick versus the NFL owners.
Yeah, that's a rivalry. I'm not sure why he picked that as an opponent when he's trying to get a job. I likened it to, you know, if Procter & Gamble and GE and any of the other big employers in Cincinnati won't hire me, why would I want to sue them? Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure I'll never get hired. So, Whoever gave him that idea. Whoever gave him that idea, that's bad.
Well, just for another major quarterback to go down, and then he comes out with this collusion case. It's just like, Jesus.
Yep.
Do you not realize what you're doing to yourself? But you're already not that good.
Yeah.
You're just ensuring that you're never going to get a job.
Good one, Whitey. I like that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm going to also go with the one that was kind of reintroduced to me because it has returned for a 9th season, and that's Larry David, just first people in general. Larry David's my favorite all-around rivalry guy. He hates everybody. He always seems to piss somebody off week to week, so that's my first pick.
That is
Larry David versus the world.
An awesome rivalry. Yeah. A rivalry I enjoy thoroughly. All right, so my rivalry is one that may be a little more one-sided, but it keeps popping up from time to time. It's usually when one person does something, the other guy jumps on and drums up a bunch of interest and look at me mentality on Twitter and his TV show. Skip Bayless versus LeBron James. I don't know if you saw the other night that when Gordon Hayward broke his leg, Skip tweeted, you know, this all but ensures LeBron can lose his 6th NBA final now.
Yeah, he was pretty quick to jump on that one. And he got torn apart for it. People were like, hey, look, the man just got hurt. Like,
yeah.
quit using this as a reason to push your anti-LeBron.
Yeah, let the body cool. Shout out Dwight Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see that where Dwight Howard tweeted like Gordon Hayward died?
Yeah,
let the Lord's wings carry you or something like that. Yeah. I was like, does anyone want to let him know that he didn't die?
Yeah, he's still alive, man. Yeah. Just broke his leg.
Yeah, he's going to be okay.
I got back-to-back picks, and the first one, it's pretty personal to me, and that's Mexican food versus my butthole.
Ooh. Yikes.
Yeah, and it gets messy from time to time, and it seems like every time I won't ever stop eating
tacos, never.
But it gets pretty intense sometimes. It's a very intense rivalry.
What's the all-time rivalry record on that?
Oh, I'm Ofer.
You're Ofer.
You need to see a GI specialist, perhaps.
I might.
It's good advice. The wrapping it back around, my second pick is going to be Tiger Woods versus his cell phone. And this is for a couple different reasons. The first time was when his wife found out that he was cheating on her with several different women and then decided that it was time to attack him with some golf clubs. And then the second time was when his cloud got hacked and everyone saw his penis.
That kind of shit didn't happen back in the flip phone days.
All right, my second pick here is Michelle Obama versus childhood obesity.
Oh, she's going to lose that handedly.
Yeah,
she's trying to make kids
not fat. To be fair, childhood obesity has McDonald's on their side. Michelle Obama doesn't stand a chance in that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was one of those deals where she was walking into the bottom of the 9th with 2 outs at the plate, down 17 to nothing. Like, she's not going to come back and win that game. Like, she can try all she wants, but it's not going to happen, so.
But she could hit a nice Jay Bruce homer, though.
It could be a meaningless shot. That's what she did with all those weird lunch changes she did for schools.
Yeah.
That was essentially an Adam Dunn home run.
Adam Dunn, yeah. I don't know why I said Jay
You mean
Bruce.
It's not healthy?
I'm sorry, Jay, I didn't mean that.
You mean it's not healthy to drink Faygo and eat mozzarella sticks dipped in?
Whoa, you can't say that.
You have to beat that.
Your napkin counts as a salad because it's technically a plant.
Exactly.
With my second pick, we like to keep things pretty manly around the Natty Boys podcast, so I'm going to go with Katie Heron versus Regina George from Mean Girls. Nobody.
No,
I got nothing
it.
On you there.
You've seen Mean Girls.
I've never seen Mean Girls.
I've probably seen it, but I don't know the names of them.
Write it in your burn book.
Ooh.
I thought you'd seen it. That's why I was trying to be funny. I remember you saying something about Lindsay Lohan, so you I thought you'd seen it. So
well, I make all kinds of Lindsay Lohan jokes. It doesn't mean I watch Freaky Friday.
Ooh, Freaky Friday's good.
I prefer the Parent Trap.
So this is time for a confession. This is confession time. I've seen Mean Girls. I actually like the movie. So that's why I picked Katie Heron versus Regina George. So
have I. I just referenced the Burn Book.
Oh, that's I didn't get that reference.
Quit trying to make fetch happen.
What are we doing with our lives here? So I've got two back to back here. Both of these are rivalries in the loosest terms. It's in the same sense that the Bug versus the Windshield is a rivalry, but still people consider them rivalries. So I'm going to throw them on here. First one. Skyline versus Gold Star.
Yes.
I mean, this is no contest. Skyline just blows Gold Star out of the water. It also blows some things out of the toilet water. But, you know, whatever. If you know.
Your body gets used to it after a while.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah, I could make an argument.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, like I said, DB, I think you see a GI guy.
a gee guy.
I don't know why people try and make Gold Star a thing still. It's it's sad almost. I don't, if there's somebody out there that prefers Gold Star, like, reach out to us. I want to study you and know what the fuck is wrong with you, because there's something seriously wrong with people that pick Gold Star over Skyline. Not even close, but people call it a rivalry, so
how do you feel about Empress Chili?
Empress was good.
Not bad. Not bad.
Empress is good.
People are trying to come at Skyline with Empress. I think they know that.
I like the little chili parlors around Cincinnati. The smaller, like the Empress and the Dixie and the Camp Washington.
Yeah,
it's not as
all
good
the ones
as
that don't taste like shit.
Yeah,
like Gold
exactly.
Star Gold tastes like shit.
All right, yeah, you guys are gonna talk some shit about me here.
If
there isn't a Skyline around, I will eat Gold Star.
Oh, I've done it at the mall.
Eat Coney's down at the Bengal game.
At the mall. When I used to work in Clifton, there wasn't a Skyline very close, so I would eat at the Gold Star that was up by there. I think Witty just quit the podcast.
Ooh, I don't know if this is... I'd have to look, but this could be heartbreaking for Witty. Is Gold Star a Coca-Cola company, or are they Pepsi, too?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
I think they're Pepsi.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
I'm not 100% sure.
Because I guess I think I know where Witty's going with his next one.
I think they're RC Cola and 7-Up.
Like U.S. Bank Arena.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. And then my second one, which, again, this is, I mean, again, this is another Bug versus the Windshield rivalry, Hammer versus the Nail rivalry, and... but people call it a rivalry, so I'm going to throw it on my list because I do enjoy one particular side of this rivalry, and that's Mill Iron Sports versus Sports. So, obviously, Mill Iron is head and shoulders above, and I don't think anybody disputes that. Most of our fans are actually literate. Our jokes are actually funny, so can go fuck themselves.
And we haven't gotten in a fight with Sam Ponder on Twitter recently. I mean, this is probably one of the reasons that they're trying to acquire us. They haven't come up with a dollar amount yet that satisfies everything that we've put into this. But, you know, it's a fluid situation. So,
yeah,
much like Taco Night, much like 3 hours after Taco Night at the DB household, it's a fluid situation. All right, Hefe.
Final pick. I'm going with
Jimmy Fallon versus Queen Latifah and Taxi.
Yes. I'm going with an oldie but a goodie, and that's Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek versus Sean Connery.
That's good.
That's a classic one. Makes me laugh every time to this day. Really, Alex Trebek versus anybody on Celebrity Jeopardy, but particularly Sean Connery.
Sean Connery and
Burt Ferguson.
Burt Reynolds. That's my name. It's funny.
It's my name. It's funny.
For my last one, I have... Some people have deemed boxing dead, but I think if this rivalry can develop a little bit more, we might be able to save boxing. I don't know. The one guy is pretty late in his career. The other guy, you would say his best work is far beyond him. But he could still, I don't know. Some people still consider him the greatest in what he did. So Floyd Mayweather and versus Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
To close this out here, I have an all-time rivalry, and it's going to be dedicated to my brother G-Money. I'm going Homer Simpson versus Ned Flanders.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's a classic, whether it's Homer just stealing all of Ned's shit or accidentally killing his wife.
Those t-shirt guns are...
it's a quality rivalry.
Yep.
So banking off of Hefe's Will Ferrell, I had Ron Burgundy versus Wes Mantooth.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had
an honorable mention.
I had three honorable mentions that I just couldn't decide on, and the one I didn't go with because DB had used something similar, but I had Mac versus male pattern baldness. I think we all know who wins that rivalry. I think that the fight's already been called, but it was a battle for a long time.
You put up a good fight.
I did. I put up a good fight for a while. Another one was Clay Travis versus racism against white males. he's still battling that every day for us, and we thank you, Clay. Not going to listen to your show, but thank you for your service. And my final honorable mention, I had a battle that was lost. It was a rivalry. It was a short-lived rivalry. Owen Hart versus Gravity.
Yikes. Yikes.
It's been long enough.
Yeah.
Short-lived is right.
Yeah, it was. He was. and try explaining to, and I am a wrestling fan, but I don't consider myself a guy that buys into everything's real and all that stuff, but try explaining to a wrestling fan without the internet as a resource that Owen Hart legitimately died. Like, people thought that it was a work for a week or two. Nobody thought that he actually died. They thought it was just all part of a storyline that they had, no matter what they did to try to convince people. So I say that in jest. It was a shitty situation, but definitely not a battle that he ever had a shot at winning.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Blue Blazer.
So I had a couple honorable mentions. One of them was a real rivalry, and it's an obvious one, but it's my favorite, obviously, OSU Michigan / Harbaugh versus Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer owns Harbaugh. So, and then my last one, Xbox versus PlayStation. Nice. That's always a pretty big one. And if you say Nintendo Switch, then fuck you.
PC gaming, bro.
I don't even understand Nintendo Switch. Like, it's like a little keypad thing, and then plug it in and play somewhere else. I don't know.
Nerds. I'm old. It's for nerds. Yeah.
Nerds.
Have any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I had a couple. A couple of ones I didn't surprise didn't come off the board. Marty McFly and Biff Tannen.
I've never seen Back to the Future.
You're surprised that movie from before we were born didn't get drafted?
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic rivalry, man. That's a classic one.
Banged his mom.
Pepsi versus Coke was one I was surprised didn't come off the board.
Not a rivalry.
Nope.
Yeah. Coke wins in a landslide.
Unless Pepsi's cousin.
Unless it's Cherry.
Where Wild Cherry Pepsi shows up to the fight.
That was my last one. It's Pepsi versus Coke. I was surprised that Woody didn't roll with Pepsi versus Coke.
Because as lopsided as Mill Iron versus is, and as lopsided as Gold Star versus Skyline is, Pepsi versus Coke isn't even close to being a rivalry. Pepsi's trash. Pepsi doesn't bring anything redeemable to the table. It's Coke all the way. So I wasn't going to waste people's time even mentioning Pepsi. Pepsi, it's just the sound of the name Pepsi is like grating on your ears. And I didn't want to put people through that because Pepsi might be the shittiest beverage in America. Yeah, and this is a world where fucking soy milk exists. But Pepsi is the shittiest beverage in America.
Unless you want to sponsor us.
Yeah.
Same with Gold Star.
No.
You want
no.
to sponsor
no.
us?
No.
No, no. Jesus Christ. What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, where to begin?
Yeah.
So last I bet we'll mention Hefe versus our success.
Jesus.
You keep talking that Gold Star trash, and I'm starting to wonder where your head's at here.
I'm styling all the way.
So I bet you dumbasses thought we were getting ready to end the podcast with a botched, you know, exit talking about our social media and everything.
Listen,
it's an industry trick. You talk down to your audience, and they're like, "Wow, I really want to be like those dudes. I'm going to subscribe more, rate and review, and tell all my friends." So something that is part of the new and improved Natty Boys coming out on Fridays, we're going to do a little what we're looking forward to on the weekend of sports, weekend in general. It doesn't have to be sports every time. But each of us will present something that, you know, we're looking forward to watching or experiencing or maybe a bold prediction. Witty, what do you got going on this weekend that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to college football in general, but specifically the game I'm looking at is Michigan-Penn State. Obviously, that has big implications for my Buckeyes, but we didn't touch on it really at all in the show, but last weekend college football was crazy.
Yeah.
So there were no top 10 or no top 25 matchups, but there were so many upsets, including four top 10 teams getting upset. So a lot of things being shaken up right now. So I'm looking forward to another good weekend of college football. And I don't know who I want to lose that Penn State-Michigan game, but I want to see somebody lose in an embarrassing fashion.
Yeah, that was a crazy weekend in sports. And I don't even remember what I did Saturday, but I was doing something. And every time I look at my phone, I'm like, this can't be right. Like, there's something going on. Like, that's,
yep.
I don't remember what I was doing, but I had to check the calendar because I thought I was out of town, but that was not the case.
Upset City, baby.
Oh, it's awesome, baby. They're going crazy. PT players here, baby. All right, Hefe, what do you have? What are you looking forward to?
Bengal victory. Followed by
I
some
have to look past this weekend, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I'm just Bengal victory followed by some new curb.
Nice. That is one nice thing with our new recording situation and recording schedule. I guess if we did a Who's Back of the Week, Sunday Night TV.
Ooh, I got one more. I'm cheating. Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Yeah, you get that Sunday. Kane, yes. Baby, the shield. Yeah. All right, so I have something near and dear to my heart. I don't hate this guy as much as I hate Brian Kelly. But I'm looking forward to Butch Jones getting fired after
Butch Jones
after losing by, and I couldn't decide on the score because I know Witty's a stickler on predicting scores. So I have predicted, this is my bold prediction, Tennessee will lose by a lot to a little.
Ooh.
Alabama being a lot, Tennessee being a little. I'm thinking a 63-12 type of score because Tennessee doesn't score touchdowns. They do everything to win but score touchdowns, which is what literally a quote from Butch Jones. but that quote is another reason I feel this way, and the score of a lot to a little is going to lead to Butch Jones's dismissal. I think the only reason it didn't happen after last week's fiasco was because they didn't want to bring in an interim coach just to get destroyed by Alabama. Might as well let it be hilarious to have it happen again to Butch Jones. So
yeah, get Butch Jones embarrassed, have him dismissed, and then subsequently have John Gruden take over.
Yeah, which
that's the rumors going on. Right
yeah,
now.
I know it really yeah. is.
He's in Tennessee right now.
He's in Tennessee, baby. He's at the Hooters. No, watch Butch Jones fucking win this game, and then they can't fire him. Like, or no, what would be even funnier is if they do beat Alabama and they still say, sorry, Butch, We don't like your freaking weird crew cut like you're a gym teacher in the 80s. Get out of here. All right, DB, take us home.
So I am looking forward to, and this isn't a knock on anybody in particular, but I am looking forward to not having any visitors this weekend, because since we had this child, I have had people at my house every single day for the past 2 weeks. Yeah. And I told the wife earlier tonight, I was like, I love both of our families, but I need a break before I actually go back to work, yeah, before I go back to real life. So yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm telling her no visitors.
Yep. And you need, I'm that looking forward time to that.
To... Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. And I am also looking forward to watching some NBA action.
Yeah.
Because I love basketball. I'm glad it's back. The Jackets have a couple games this weekend. I'll be tuning into those, mm-hmm, and I'll be watching my Lakers. So,
sir,
got a good sports weekend ahead of me.
Yep. All right. Something else you guys can look forward to is more recurring Natty Boys episodes once a week, coming to you on Fridays now. That's our updated schedule. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Here's a fun fact: the more 5-star reviews you give us, the more episodes we're going to release. So if you like it, then you know, keep giving us those 5-star reviews, and then you know, maybe we'll come 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. You know, who knows? You know, it's up to you guys.
We can be like the Wall Street Journal. We can have a morning episode and an afternoon episode.
We're gonna just have a live 24-hour stream where we're just always on here talking.
Ooh, and then we're going to find some company that will actually broadcast that for us, and we'll just have like different people come on throughout the day to talk. And then at night we'll do some weird trucking talk thing that just, you don't understand what they're talking about. Oh, really? Yeah, to eat up some time when people are driving back and forth to work.
Yep.
But let's carve out an hour or two a day with no commercials. That way we can be like, hey, we don't have commercials. We've only got music. And then we'll talk about, you know, girls' butts and stuff in the afternoon, and have people call in.
You can't say butts on the radio.
Sorry. Radio. You
know, oh, wait.
What's that?
What is that?
What? You're crazy.
Shit. Crazy, man.
All right. Well, whatever DB's got planned for us is fine, I guess, but.
Yeah. So, anyway, also check us out on the website, millironsports.com. Follow us on Twitter at @MillIronSports. Again, you can find all our personal accounts in the bio for that account.
Yeah.
And follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/MillIronSports.
Yeah, and before we go, I just want to say a quick thank you to the 7 people that showed up to our website today. That was really cool. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Makes us realize that. At first, the other day, I thought, oh, shit, I forgot to pay WordPress. Well, they shut our website off. No, we just... But no, so yeah, I promise if you check back more, there will be more blogs there. We're getting better about it. The quality might not be there, but quantity for sure. So,
all right, have a good weekend, guys.
See you guys next Friday.